Since a time-trolling experiment focused on November 1896 had plucked him from his home and family and eventually brought him forward to the Deathlands present. Only an hour earlier, Doc had been trying to return to his own time, so deranged that he fired a shot at Ryan from the massive Lama he wore on his hip. Amazingly, he now seemed and sounded as close to normal as he ever had. The only one of the group of seven companions not yet recovered from the jump was their most recent addition, a youth once known as Brother Michael, from the isolated and enclosed religious order at Nilvanity, above Visalia in the California Rockies. Only 19 years old, he shared with Doc the unique experience of having been successfully brought forward through time, in his case, from shortly before the United States of America had fallen and the Deathlands begun. Being jolted to the new wastes had been difficult for the teenager to handle, but he'd made the adjustments, insisting on changing his name, reversing it to plain Michael Brother. Now he was stirring, his dirt-caked bare feet shuffling on the floor. His long robe was rumpled, showing muscular thighs.
I thought I was asleep back in the community.
How do you feel, Michael?
Not bad.
That was a good jump, wasn't it, Dad? Can we get moving? Hey, it's cold in here.
Ryan stood, flexing the stiffness from his back. The boy was right. It did feel colder than usual. Ryan's right hand eased toward the butt of his P226 Sig Sauer 9mm automatic. Now everyone was standing, adjusting clothing and weaponry. Christy closed her eyes for a moment.
You feel anything?
No. Doesn't feel like anyone's close. Usual redoubt, kind of dead and empty, and a sense of a long time gone.
Ryan drew the Sig Sauer, hardly even aware of the familiar weight and balance, an extension of his own right arm.
Everyone ready?
Have we completed a jump, or are we about to commence one? If you'll forgive an old man's question.
Just made one, Doc. Got us away from Chi-Town, remember?
Just got in from the Windy City and... How does it go on?
Ryan caught the look of concern on Mildred's face. Doc's mind came and went. Sometimes it was close to normal, sometimes it wasn't. Now it looked as though the appalling experience of the previous few days had either opened up some of the old scars or carved fresh ones.
Doc, just stay close to me.
Stay close, my dear John Barrymore? Does the darkness gather? I am reminded of lines written by a clever fellow I met back in, Rexford. Eben Rexford. Odd how I can recall things from 200 years ago and scarcely have any remembrance of what I ate to break my fast this morning.
Ryan paused, fingers on the cold metal of the gateway's door handle. Looking back at Doc, it crossed his mind, as it had dozens of times before, that it might be a whole lot easier to put a full metal jacket through the old man's skull. The traitor would have done it. He would have said that anything that made your life easier and safer should be done. But life would surely be a lot duller without Doc Tanner around.
We gotta be away from here, Doc. Let's go.
Remember me when I am far away, far off in a distant land where... that was not what Eben wrote. He wrote a beautiful song about having silver hairs among the gold. Shine upon my brow today. Life is fading fast away.
Blades broke off the hilt for Doc, Dad.
It's temporary, son.
As the heavy door swung open, a distinct wave of cold air rushed in.
Ugh. Usually keep them at a steady temperature.
Looks like the central master comp may have malfunctioned.
Doesn't that mean that the gateway might not be working properly? We might not be able to jump out of here, wherever here is.
Could be.
Ryan looked out, seeing the usual matter transfer setup. A small anteroom, unfurnished, and another closed door beyond that. Normally, that would open onto the main control area.
Ready?
The control section, with its banks of desks and flickering information processors, was totally, clinically bare. The small room immediately next to the gateway was stripped. Normally there was some evidence of human habitation, even if it was only a single line of graffiti or a crumpled paper cup. This time there was nothing. No table, no chair, no shelves on the off-white walls.
Looks like we won't be finding too much in the way of food or supplies.
Michael Brother was wandering around, stopping a moment to rub a finger along the tops of the brightly lit consoles.
No dust.
Air conditioning keeps the sensitive areas of the redoubt clean. Whoever had the job of sealing up this place did it real well.
Mothballing.
What? That one of your 20th century sayings?
Yeah. Means sealing up against the elements. What they've done here, we'd call it mothballing.
I'm cold and I have to pee.
Wait until we get outside this part. There might be some warm clothes in another section of the redoubt, son.
We gonna open the sector?
JB stood by the green lever that controlled the huge slabs of impenetrable armor steel.
Be on red alert.
At Ryan's nod, the armorer threw his weight against the lever, helped by Mildred. Very slowly, like a dinosaur roused from slumber, the sector began to rise. Dean dropped flat on his stomach to peer under the door, his Browning high power in his right fist.
Nothing!
Ryan knelt, looking below the rising wall of gray steel, into the familiar blank expanse of corridor. It had a high rounded roof, with overhead strip lights and occasional tiny set cameras. JB stopped the movement of the door by returning the green lever to the central position, waiting for the word from Ryan to continue.
Looks all right. A bastard of an icy wind blowing out there. Take it all the way up. I'll go first. JB brings up the rear. Rest of you pick your own places. Let's be careful.
Since they'd first discovered the matter transmitters, hidden in buried military redoubts, the group of friends had made a number of successful jumps, finding themselves in a variety of unexpected places. Some of the high-tech complexes had been partly destroyed, and most had been stripped in the last days before Skydark. Many had been found during the long winters, but it was a constant surprise to Ryan Cotter how many still remained. Not many of them had been as bitterly cold as this one. Now that they were outside the comparative shelter of the control room, the temperature had fallen well below freezing. Ryan hesitated. The corridor bent in both directions, but the chilly wind seemed to be cutting in from his left.
Wait here. Dean and Christy, you come with me. Slow and careful.
Some of the lights are out ahead. You can see the shadows change.
Ryan had already noticed, also aware of grittiness under the soles of his combat boots. The passage continued to bend away to the left, without a single door or side corridor.
Wind's getting stronger. Gotta be part of the redoubt collapsed somewhere up ahead.
Yeah, could have been a quake. Or maybe the nukes coming in.
Can I go ahead, Dad?
No.
Please?
You know what the word no means, don't you?
The boy recognized the note of rising anger in his father's voice and kept quiet. Ryan glanced up, seeing that the ceiling was furrowed with long, deep cracks, some of them exposing the rusted steel supports. The floor of the passage was littered with chunks of fallen concrete.
What are these holes, lover?
Ryan narrowed his eye, peering where she'd indicated. The stone was pitted with dozens of small holes, most about the width of a child's index finger. Ryan poked at one of the bigger crevices, finding it went in deeper than he could reach.
Looks almost like some sort of bug's been burrowing in.
Can I pee, Dad?
Yeah, do it up the side against the wall.
Don't look, Christy.
All right, Dean.
Christy and Ryan had both noticed that Dean was becoming more self-conscious about his body. He was getting older, starting to develop into a man. Ryan and Christy walked a little farther along the winding passage, into the teeth of what was now a strong, cold wind.
It's getting less gloomy ahead. Looks like natural daylight.
Ryan nodded. Several of the light strips in the roof had gone out, but most of the red-eyed set cameras still swiveled to follow their progress. A few steps more, and they saw what had happened. A huge slice of the land above the redoubt had vanished, hacked off along a fault line by a massive earthquake. It had cut clean through the tunnel, allowing bright sun to lance through, throwing sharp-edged shadows across a floor that was dusted with snow and patches of glittering ice. Through the hole, it was possible to see the dazzling blue-purple of the sky and the white-tipped peaks of distant mountains.
We near the darks?
Old Utah, Montana, or Wyoming. Could be Colorado with the Tetons. We'll have to wait for JB to work out where we are.
There was no thought involved. Christy's reflexes were cobra fast, but she was leaden compared to Ryan. He spun around, powering back along the corridor toward his son. Dean was on his knees, his pants around his ankles, his skin pale under the fluorescent lights. He was huddled over, hands grabbing at his groin, cupping his genitals. His head was bowed, his curly black hair tumbling over his face. For a frozen splinter of time, Christy couldn't